Hi, everybody. Welcome to MoCo's Most Famous. I'm Joe Yashiroff, Director of Content and Operations at MyMC Media. We are coming to you from our podcast studio in Rockville, Maryland, near the train tracks in the heart of Montgomery County. Today's featured guest is Michael Bobbitt, the longtime artistic director at the Adventure Theater right here in Montgomery County. In the theater world, Michael is an institution, or as I like to call him, the man. Michael, welcome to MoCo's Most Famous. How are you?
I'm very good. You sort of blow up my ego with most famous and institutional and all those things.
Well, it's all fitting, I think. I think you've more than earned that title.
Kind of makes me feel a little bit old, but that's okay.
That's all right. No, you're definitely not. I'm the old one between the two of us. So you have some news for us, which we're very happy about, but we're also a little sad about. So why don't you share the news with our listeners?
Well, sure. It's I think happy and sad is the best emotion to describe it. So this summer, I will be leaving Adventure Theater after 12 years. My baby. I'm leaving my baby.
But it ain't so.
Yeah. It's pretty sad. It took a while for me to get to the decision. But I am heading up to Boston, moving my family up there to become the artistic director of New Repertory Theater. So I'm very excited about that.
What is going to be the biggest challenge in this new job?
I think moving to a new city. Certainly, I don't have a network up there, and I know very few artists. And getting to know a new job and a new company, I think all that's part of the challenge that anyone would have at a new job.
What's the scariest part, would you say, about going to a new job in Boston?
Can I do it? Will I be good at it? Will people like me? All those things that I think we all go through. And maybe the cold weather.
You've been at Adventure Theater for 12 years, which is a long time, I think, in theater. How difficult was that decision? You've created, you've molded, you worked with the community, you've added to the community, you've done so many things. How difficult was that for you?
The hardest decision of my life. You know, when I got there in 2007, the organization was really structured like a volunteer-run model where the board ran the organization and programmed the shows, focused on the operations as well as producing the shows. And they brought me in to transition it to a professional model. So we grew from about 15,000 patrons, and the budget was a little less than 500,000. And now we're looking at a $2.7 million budget with a staff of 15, and our patron base in some years has gotten up to 100,000. So, and we merged with Musical Theater Center in 2012. And so we inherited this massive academy of these theater wannabes. And all of that has given me reason to wake up every day because it's just so, so fulfilling. It feeds me every day. And I'm lucky to have a vocation and a vocation that helps kids, which is super exciting. So to leave that after 12 years was a hard decision. But I felt like I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. And it was time to bring some new blood in there as the theater looks towards its horizons. And the theater's in the best shape it's ever been, both financially and programmatically. We have an awesome new hotshot education director that has an arts and education degree from Harvard. And then Leon Seaman, my business manager, my business partner and friend, has really fixed the financials and gotten us to a place of sustainability and growth. And so it is in great hands. Now it's time for some fresh new ideas to come into the organization.
So it sounds like there'll be no guilt on your part because you've left the Adventure Theater in such great shape. A lot of people, when they leave a job, they feel like they haven't finished the job. There's more to do. But it sounds like you're at a very good place, and then you won't be having a lot of guilt pangs.
I don't have guilt pangs. I have sadness because, when I look at the faces of the kids, I had a nice talk with them last weekend about their future and that we'll be working together when they become professional adults. So that sadness hurts a little bit, but no guilt. I mean, there certainly were things I wanted to do, but I also felt like those were things that others can do as well. So no guilt.
How was that conversation? How did that go? Was it emotional? Without sharing too many details, but I mean, how hard was that for you and for the kids?
I actually think they were uplifted, and it helped them with some of their sadness because they know they're in great hands with Margot. They know that our paths will cross if they continue pursuing this career again. And there was still sadness from some people. There were lots of wonderful hugs, and I got a couple of notes from parents saying that talk was really good for them.
You listed some of the things that you and your team have accomplished over the years. You know, and I know it's like picking a favorite kid. You can't pick a favorite kid. But if you had to pick one thing that you're most proud of, what would that be?
That's the second time I've gotten this this question, and I don't know if I can do that. I think I can pick three things.
Okay.
All right.
We have time.
So on the production side, we, I think it was 2012 or so, or 2013, I can't quite remember, but we got the rights to Bob Marley's Estate of Songs, and we made a whole new children's musical using Bob Marley's music.
Wow.
And adapted a book that his daughter wrote. But that piece did very well in Glen Echo. It brought a lot of people to the theater that had never been before. I've never seen so many dads with dreadlocks cuddling with their daughters, enjoying and singing
That's
the songs,
great.
Which is really cool. It sold out. It got us incredible national attention. And then the show transferred to the New Victory Theater, which is on 42nd Street in New York City, considered an off-Broadway house. And that transfer got national and international attention. We were written in the New York Times, USA Today, all kinds of magazines. And then the play went on a national tour, so another 40,000 kids saw that. And now the play is published by Rodgers and Hammerstein Theatrics, which is one of the country's leading, maybe even the world's leading script publishers. And it's being done all over the country. So this little piece that we did in Glen Echo is now everywhere. There were five productions this year, and I think there are four or five planned for next year. So that's one. This Big River project that you guys did the video for was incredible, to take this existing Broadway work that has a lot of love and memories of it and to readapt it and engage the community on the process was huge. It taught the whole organization a lot about racial equity and how to engage a community. Everything that we've done has been changed and grown because of that process. And then I would say the merger with Musical Theater Center in 2012 was really great. I think we filled the donut with the donut hole with the school and our passion for getting kids to become theater artists was made more real by having a school where we can actually train them to get there. So those three things are my favorite things that I think about.
Those are three good ones. I know why you can't pick one. Those are three tied for first, right?
Yeah.
A three-way tie for first.
Exactly.
How important is working with the community? I mean, what you're doing there is not just the job at Adventure Theater, but you're working with the community, you're contributing to the community. How important has that been to you?
You know, nonprofits are mission-based, and so what we do is to make the world a better place for people. And because of that, and because of our nonprofit status, we require a lot of support, financial support from friends and family and foundations and corporations. And so I always want to make sure that the organization is using those resources to actually give back to the community that go beyond just putting on shows or having classes. So we have created all kinds of partnerships to support whatever the community needs. Some of my favorites were when we did a production of Go Dog Go. We partnered with the Montgomery County Humane Society to have a mobile adoption day.
Wow.
Where they brought a bunch of dogs and cats and I think a couple of rabbits to the theater. We sabotaged the parents in between shows, but we helped to get a lot of dogs' families.
That's
and
awesome.
Then right now, we are about to open Winnie the Pooh, and we're partnering with the Montgomery County Police Department to do a teddy bear drive. And the teddy bears will go to kids on trauma scenes to help from police officers. So those are some of the ways we give back. But I also think that people do business with people they know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for nonprofit organizations to get away from their desks, get into the community, meet people so they can create faces and recognition. And I think some of that has a lot to do with how much Adventure Theater has grown and how beloved it is in the community that goes beyond just the shows and the classes.
You talked about meeting people and faces. You mean there's another form of communication other than texting and not actually seeing people and talking to them?
Yeah. You know, it's really shocking. And I'm reminding myself that email is a generational thing because my son yells at me all the time when I say, did you check that email? He'll go, stop emailing me. It's a dated way of communicating. And so now I have to take a photo of a screenshot of his emails and text it to him. It's the only way to get him to answer.
Wow. Amazing. Diversity, you've touched on it. How important is diversity to you in what you do?
Well, beyond the social justice aspect of it and it being the right thing to do, it is important that we reflect the community that we're in. You know, my family is extremely diverse. My fiance is white and my adopted son was adopted from Vietnam. So I jokingly tell people we look like a Benetton ad. but in my house, we celebrate each other's holidays and cultures very much. And so it is ingrained in me as a person. But I also think that there's the business aspect that I think organizations that aren't diversifying will die off soon because the community and the world is looking differently. So that's one aspect of it. The second part is that racial equity. I mean, it's important that those who have been marginalized for many years get opportunities. So we have created lots of programs, lots of initiatives, and even actions to make sure that we are including all people in everything that we do. Very intentional about it, and I'm proud because I think that Adventure Theater has been leading some of this notion in the theater community, and I will continue that when I go up to Boston.
The times we live in, there's a lot of good stuff going on, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. How have the times affected what you do as an artistic director?
You know, I have blinders on about it because it's so overwhelming, and sometimes it is what I use theater for is escape. I can sort of block that out and go and enjoy the art, and for a couple hours I can just be in another place. So as I go to Boston, this theater community really loves to talk about what's the vital issues of our time, and that will be a big part of the how we produce shows and what shows we produce. So I'm looking forward to like taking the blinders off, watching, thinking, reading about what the community needs, and producing shows that spark those conversations.
One of the interesting differences that at least I can discern between your current job and your next job, you're working with children, and now you're going to be not working with children in Boston. Is that right? And how, besides the obvious difference, what are some of the differences?
Well, so we work with children in the academy, mm-hmm. and in the productions, it's typically adults performing for kids. Occasionally, we'll have kids in shows, as we did in Big River. So that's one change. I do think that there are some crossovers. Like the first show I'm directing at New Rep is Oliver. So there will be kids in that production. So I get to work with kids again. What's interesting about children's theater and adult theater is that it requires the same producing, the same resources, the same thought pattern, the same administration. The only big difference is that the audiences are, for the most part, just shorter and tinier. but they're sophisticated. I mean, if you look at what's happening on Broadway right now, mm-hmm. so many shows up there are for kids, and the kids have developed taste, and their sensory awareness is stronger and more refined. So that part of producing will be the same. The other big part is the material that we produce. I am picking shows that are primarily for adult audiences. So I'm immersing myself back into the world of adult theater and reading as much as I can and connecting with colleagues that do the same sort of theater.
Best part about being an artistic director at a theater company?
That's a very good question, because one of the worst parts is you get blamed for everything.
I was going to ask you the worst, so you already answered the second question.
I think the best part is being able to express your art and the things that are important to you and not have a lot of people question it. They just, if you are a kind of engaging artistic director, people will go along with what you want to do.
Great stuff from Michael Bobbitt. Lots more to chat about, including his thoughts on Hamilton. I'm really anxious to hear your thoughts on that. But first, we're going to take a quick break. This is Moco's Most Famous, brought to you by MyMC Media.
MCM, your community media center, is making Montgomery County a great place to live through programs like 21 This Week. Montgomery County's hardest-hitting political talk show keeps you up to date with the local political scene. Montgomery Community Media. Our middle name is Community.
Welcome back. I'm Joe Yashroff, and we are talking to the now former artistic director of the Adventure Theater. I have my sad theater face on for us here. Michael Bobbitt on Moco's Most Famous, brought to you by MyMC Media. So we were talking a lot about your former job. I want to talk a little bit more about your current job. When do you start, by the way, in Boston?
Yeah, so former is not until July 1, which is the anniversary of my 12th year. But my official start date at the New Repertory Theater is August 1. There's a lot to do between now and then.
What do you know about Boston? You've never lived there. Have you been there, did you say?
Yeah, if I remember, I have traveled there three times, once to sing with a men's choir and mm-hmm. twice on little mini vacations. I went to the Cape a couple of times as well. And then I did a program at Harvard called Strategic Perspectives in Nonprofit Management, which is a week-long stay up there as well. So I like it. I mean, I'm very interested in the cold weather that everyone keeps threatening and warning me about. And I tell people my best fashion is my winter clothes. So I'm looking forward to expanding my fashion.
That's great. So before the break, I promised we were going to talk about Hamilton, which I really want to get your opinion on. I saw it. I'm not a theater expert, but I like theater. I go to plays. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen, not even close. When you saw it, I don't know how many times you've seen it, but what was your reaction? I know you knew a lot about it going in, but what was your reaction when you saw it?
I was mesmerized. I was mesmerized by, beyond the genius of the writing, the simplicity of the physical production, because it was all about storytelling and the artists and great writing. And I think that sometimes theater gets a little overblown and overproduced, and so you forget that at the core of all this is great storytelling. You know, Hamilton is like some of those iconic pieces of theater, like Hair, A Chorus Line, and Rent, that literally changed the model and changed the format. And the biggest thing that, well, beyond the inclusion of contemporary rap music into the art form, you know, we had a practice of casting diversely. In many ways, it was called colorblind casting, which I think was not a good term, because I don't want you to be blind to my color, to color-conscious casting, which is casting people because of their color. And for us to, for Lin-Manuel to write a show and to hire people of color to play roles that were historically, that were, you know, were based on living white men was brilliant. And so it changed everything, because I guess we believe that if race was a plot point, you had to cast color conscious. But he said, you know, race is a plot point. You don't have to cast color conscious. This is about giving people of color opportunities. So I was mesmerized and brilliant. And I was moved emotionally, because I had two students in the production that I saw. So I kind of cried because I thought they were brilliant in their performances.
Who would be insane enough to write a hip-hop musical about a former Secretary of Treasury? If someone said that, you would say, excuse me, what?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. But it makes sense. I mean, he was an orator. He spoke, and rap is about the language. And so it totally makes sense after you think about it for a minute.
How did it influence you seeing that? Has it affected anything that you can actually say, you know what, if I hadn't seen Hamilton, I wouldn't have done this or that?
I think it confirmed what I felt in my heart about color-conscious casting. And I think that it made me think about all the shows that I'm doing. You know, I could say that I directed a production of Elf at Olney, Elf the Musical, and I really wanted to have color representation on stage. And what was funny for me is that the actor I cast to play the first role you see, which is Santa Claus, is an African-American actor. And there was excitement around having an African-American actor, and there was an idea of having press about that. And my thought was, Santa has always been black in my family, so I don't know if this is a press worthy event, but I was happy that people were noticing it, and I think it brought a lot of people to the theater that wouldn't have come. And I think that's one of the points of doing color conscious casting.
Do you think theater in this area, obviously it's not New York, there's only one New York, there's only one London, how would you rate theater in general? I know it's a very general question, but how would you rate the quality of shows one can see here in the Maryland, D.C. area?
I think it's amazing. I think it's in many ways a big secret of the Washington, D.C. area that we have 90 professional theaters. And you can see everything
90.
From, yeah, 90 professional theaters. And you can see everything from incredibly well-produced regional theater from some of the top theaters like Arena Stage and Ford's and Shakespeare Theater. And you can see experimental theater from new kids coming up and making great theater. You can see theater every night of the week if you wanted to here. And the quality is very strong. So for those of you out there that don't go see theater, put it on your bucket list to do. Put it on your everyday list to do, because there's such great theater out there.
And while some important people, we won't mention names, are not big arts supporters who live in this area, tell people how important the arts are.
Well, you know, one of the old arguments is that it's leisure and it's about the quality of life. And while I think that is all true, what I think is most important about it, there are two things. One is that the arts help to drive the economy. When people go see a show, they use public transportation. They get their hair done. They park. They go to restaurants. They go to the bar. And all of that is helping diversify the finances and the tax base and get people to spend money. So supporting the arts supports the community. The second part is that exposing your mind to the creative process is a very, very important part of helping to make the world move. I believe that imagination is seeing the world differently. Creativity is bringing the imagination to life, and art is the product of creativity. And in order for science and technology and sociology to advance, you have to have have creative thinkers, people that can use their imagination to see the world better. And that's why we have to expose everyone to the art so that people can continue to expand their minds to the creative process.
What are you going to miss most about this community?
The people, because I have so many friends. I was born and raised in D.C. and mm-hmm. went away to school and came back in the mid-90s and have been here since. And so I have so many deep friendships. I have some family here, and I will miss my family at Adventure Theater. There's so many things. Every single day, all the phone calls and emails and texts and Instagram messages and Facebook messages reminding me of how many people and associates I have here. So I'll miss that. I miss all of that, but...
But you're coming back at some point, right? You're not going away forever, are you?
I still have some affiliations with a bunch of theaters, and so hopefully they'll hire me now and again. And I have family here, so I'll be back for holidays to visit. And I have friends here, so I'll be back for all that as well.
So here's what I like to call Barbara Walters' question. How would you like to be remembered for your time in D.C. at the Adventure Theater?
Oh, that's a good question.
Don't be modest. Come on.
I want to say that I want people to remember me as a person who was passionate about doing great theater, whether or not that was on stage or in the classrooms or in other people's theaters, but someone who deeply cares about the community and the people in the community. That's how I want to be remembered.
That is a wonderful, and there's no script, by the way. There's no prompter. That was off the top of your head. That was amazing. You use my favorite word, passion. You know, when I'm hiring people, resumes are great. You know, all the accomplishments, all the things you've done and GPAs and jobs and promotions and all that. But to me, it's all about passion. If you don't have passion, then you have nothing. I look for the fire in the eyes when I'm talking to somebody, when I'm hiring somebody, or just when I'm talking to somebody. If they have fire in the eyes, then that's all I need to know. And you can't compete with that.
I agree with you. In fact, one of the things we have done at Adventure is to relook at all of our job descriptions to make sure that we are not excluding people that may have passion but don't have advanced degrees or don't have what we always put in job descriptions, like, you know, even like things like write a cover letter. Why do I need my tap instructor to have a cover letter to be able to write? I need them to be passionate about teaching kids how to tap dance. And so that's one of the things we look for when we do interviews. That passion, that fire to do this work and to do it not for themselves, but for the kids.
Do you know when you start working with a student whether they're going to be really good, really accomplished? Do some change and become better, or do you know right away?
I do look for passion. I look for someone who really likes to do this, but it's so hard when they're kids to know what they're going to be and how they're going to be, and their bodies and their minds change so much. I've seen kids come in that are so shy, and literally a year later, they're belting out songs. I have 100 stories about that. So it's hard to tell, and I tell my parents all the time, because my parents that want to invest in their kids want me to tell them that their kids are gonna make it. And I can't tell you that, because they change so much. And I've been teaching for many, many years, and I've seen kids go from raw talent or a passion for it to becoming the best performers I've ever met.
Thank you for the invitation to attend the gala a couple of weeks ago, the Adventure Theater fundraising gala. And one of your former students that you mentioned that's in Hamilton, Amber Iman. Amber Iman, she was amazing. Can you tell us about kind of her growth, her development from when you first worked with her to now?
You know, Amber is another one of these students that had a tremendous instrument, a tremendous passion, and an amazing intellect. Her specificity and detail was already in her. And she started as an acting major mm-hmm. and then moved over into musical theater. I think what I was able to give Amber was more technique, more structure, more tools, so she can not so much rely on her instinct, but actually, when it came time to solve problems, she can pull things from out of her toolbox. And I also pushed her a little bit, too. I gave her some very difficult songs to get her expanded beyond what she thought her limitations were. And she keeps on surprising me, really surprising me.
Well, that night, I think she sang three songs. The last one was, I didn't know what song it was for the first minute of it, because it was a very different version of Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Yeah.
I'm listening to it thinking, I don't know this song. Oh, wait, those lyrics are kind of familiar. Oh, my God, that's Whitney Houston. And then she got into the part, you know, the more traditional version. But that was amazing.
Well, there are very few people that I meet that I would use the term that they are an artist with a capital A. And Amber is one of those. And so when she performs, the art just emanates from her, and I cannot wait to see the career she's gonna. I mean, she's already been on Broadway in two shows. She starred as Nina Simone in Soul Doctor, and I know there's more to come because she is just that good.
Nina Simone, wow,
on Broadway,
wow. that's a must see.
Yeah.
What do you hope to accomplish at the New Rep Theater Company in it's actually Watertown, Massachusetts, which is just outside Boston,
just
right?
Just outside. Yeah, it's funny because the suburbs in Boston are much closer together than the suburbs down here. So, you know, I don't know, actually. I think that I have vision impulses, and I don't know if I'll be able to define what the vision is until I have more conversations and see what's happening in the theater community up there and get to know and talk to the staff and the board and the artists up there and the patrons as well. So that's my job for the next 6 months, kind of figure out what I want to do and how I want to support what they need. I do know that because of my own sort of values, I know that racial equity will be part of the work I do up there in both the stories we tell and the artists that we hire. I still want to produce great theater. I hope that people will give me the chance to do that. And I love musical theater. I want to do more musical theater. And I also want to make sure that I am supporting the whole community and not just the theater side. So lots to discover.
Does Michael Bobbitt have a Hamilton in him at some point down the road?
We shall see. I have written a couple of adult plays, and maybe now I have a venue where I can produce those plays, but not on the agenda at the moment. We'll see. We'll see. I mean,
no pressure, by the way. I was just curious.
We'll see. I see. I think in on my to-do list for my career before I leave this earth, I do want to be able to say that I produced a Broadway show. I don't know if I want to write it, but I definitely want to be a part of being part of a Broadway show.
Well, can't wait for that down the road, and I'll be the first in line for a ticket. Michael Bobbitt, thank you so much for joining us on Moco's Most Famous. This has been a pure delight.
Thank you for all the years of support. I can't tell you how much my partnership and my friendship with you guys has meant to me.
We wish you the best of everything. Thank you to production and studio manager Vinny Saragino, executive producer Gaynell Evans, and thank you for listening to Moco's Most Famous. Have a great day, everybody.